Book it down now. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and clinical psychologist, certified life coach, parenting and relationship expert, and friend of the show, Dr. John Duffy, joins us. How are you, Dr. Duff?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good. You were so nice. You gave me condolences, which I'm assuming extend to Wendy as well.
No, more to you. Bertrand said this yesterday, too.
About the loss of Tim Conway.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely, when Tim Conway died, I thought of you. Whenever a legendary old school comic dies, that seems to have broken new ground.
And
I think,
did.
Like, Bill Leff loves this guy.
You know what was so nice was, and I'm sure you both saw this, was just the outpouring of not only celebrities, but from everybody, just saying the earliest hysterical laughter I remember came from Tim Conway.
Yeah.
That the magic that he brought to the Carol Burnett Show and other roles, but most notably the Carol Burnett Show, you can't even describe it to somebody. I've tried to describe it to other people. There's a salesperson here I was riding in the elevator with, and we were talking about it, and she goes, yeah, I don't really know much about him. I don't know.
Look him up.
I was explaining his magic was making his co-stars laugh. And,
yeah.
You know,
I have to say, in the Duffy family house, the very Roman Catholic, very silent, you can hear the clock tick upbringing in yeah. my house. That was when Tim Conway and Harvey Korman were on together
yeah.
and they lost it. There were six of us who were laughing our heads off. Like, finally, we lost all our composure and we lost it.
Patton yeah. Oswalt posted a clip yesterday, and I watched the clip last night. So what it is it's a scene. It's a Carol Burnett scene, and they're all on a couch. They're all next to each other on a couch. And Tim is talking, and then you see Carol Burnett, Vicki Lawrence, and Dick Van Dyke. It was the last season of the show. They're laughing so hard that they can't move their heads up. All three of them have their heads. All you see is the tops of their heads through the whole scene. And they just let him go. They just let him talk and talk and talk, and they cannot stop laughing.
And you know, it's funny you mentioned that, John, how you watched it with your family. So did I, Bill. I'm sure you did,
yeah.
too. That's where it hurts even more, because that brings you back to a time where, like, the whole family watched TV together.
You think about that, right?
Yeah.
We were talking about this yesterday, clients of mine and I, and they were saying, where is that show now where we can all sit and watch it together without that panic of, like,
right.
something inappropriate's about to come along.
Right.
Or we have to have some important talk about something. This was just fun, right?
Yeah.
This was just like real clean family fun.
Right.
And they always managed to keep it clean enough. I mean,
yeah.
you know, I suppose it was racy in moments for its day.
Right. I didn't get it as a kid.
I didn't either. I don't think any of us did.
Yeah, it was a magic magic show.
It really was.
He'll be so missed. I mean, he's just such a good guy. We wanted to talk about something having to do with sleep, but it's kind of the contrary of something we're used to hearing. What is it?
Yeah, so there's all this research in the past year and a half in England and here in the States in the past couple of years. Typically, the diagnostic manuals list depression, anxiety, attention problems, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder as having sleep as one of the symptoms of each of these maladies. And what research is showing is, that's not necessarily just a symptom. That typically is a cause, maybe not a sole cause, but absolutely a cause and a driver of all of these things. In other words, if we're not sleeping enough, and the vast majority of us are not sleeping enough, especially our kids, or if we're sleeping way too much, which I think way fewer of us are doing that. But if we're not sleeping enough, we need to really attend to that, because for especially our kids that are suffering anxiety and depression, and an awful lot of them are, I find more and more and more every single year, if we can get them establishing better habits sleep-wise,
mm-hmm.
suddenly I think we're out of the woods at least a little bit, or diagnostically we're a notch or two higher than we would have been otherwise.
We all know that, but how do we do that? How do you get a teenager to go to bed before midnight?
It's so hard to reestablish old habits, right? Because especially you've got teenagers. I had a teenager, and either they're busy with work because they've been doing stuff after school, or there's Netflix and Game of Thrones
yep.
is on right now, right? So I'm binge watching that. I've got to keep up with my friends. So there has to be kind of a hard reset in our households in order to make this happen. Honestly, I'm telling families right now, you may as well wait out the school year and do the reset in the summer, because to do everything at once is kind of difficult. But the way to reset is to do it yourself. So in other words, if it's like, I know the phone, for example, is super stimulating if it's by my bedside, even if it's off, which there's research to support that as well.
Right.
So we're going to keep all the phones, including mom and dad's phone, downstairs in the kitchen charging all night long.
I can't do that.
It's super hard.
I can't do that.
Yeah. No,
so how do I expect them to do that?
And you might not be able to, but if you can't do that, then at least you establish, like, okay, everybody goes upstairs at 11 or 11:30. And I find myself kind of negotiating with families about what that time is, because my anxiety goes up as a family's bedtime gets later.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because the kids are getting up earlier than they used to in order to get stuff done and get ready for school. And science still says that 8 to 10 or more hours for teenagers is what they need, right? For their brains to develop adequately, for them to really attend to the next day, they need that much time. I know hundreds of teenagers, and I have yet to meet the kid that gets that much
sleep. I was just going to ask you that. And all of your clients, and Bill, I don't know how many teenagers you know. I don't know anyone that gets 8 to 10.
No. So I find myself buying half hours. I always figure, like, because kids now don't know what it's like, I don't think, to feel rested, to feel really rested. And they feel, and I think there's this myth that I'll make up for it on the weekends. I'm going to sleep till noon or two,
right,
and then I'll be good to go come Monday. And
doesn't work that way.
No, sleep research are pretty clear about that.
What do you make of this, John? I've heard other people in professions just like yours say, not only do you need this many hours of sleep, but in that hour before sleep, you shouldn't be watching television.
Yeah.
Because that's still playing in your head as you sleep, and that doesn't make for a very well-rested sleep.
So for the kids and adults I've worked with who I can get reading as opposed to watching, and it's hard to do, right? But the screen is stimulating, and the book typically is more drab, and it tends to lull you toward sleep.
Right.
If you can, if you're willing to take like a melatonin or something natural, even if it's a placebo effect, if that eases you towards sleep, that last hour is no small thing. The key there is to be consistent about it, especially if you find that this helps me sleep. If my wife were here now, she'd say, if I spend 15 minutes on the phone, I can then put that away. Breathe for a few minutes. I'll download the Calm app or the Headspace app, do a quick little meditation, and then I'm in a zone where I can go to sleep. So I'm all in favor of whatever works, but that last hour is no small thing. You cannot go from watching, you know, the end game to falling asleep within 5 minutes.
Or Grand Theft Auto and then try and, you know,
Or wind Fortnite.
Down. Right.
Or Snapchat.
Right.
So keep away from any kind of computer screens, gaming screens, your phone.
I play word games, and I swear to God, I fall asleep with my iPad on me, because it lulls me to sleep.
It's weird, but word games do seem, like if you're playing Word with Friends or something like that, that does feel different than I'm on Snapchat, I'm on social media, and I'm reading the new thing, and I'm refreshing my feed. Mm-hmm. That feels different, because you are then...
No emotions involved.
Exactly.
Ah.
Yep. So it's kind
that's
of
a big thing, isn't
it? In a way, you want to bore yourself a little
bit. Right. It's called Word Crossy. I highly recommend it.
Oh.
It's a really fun word game, and it really just kind of it shuts my brain off and allows me to go to sleep.
In the end, that's the goal.
Yep.
Whatever you find that shuts your brain off and helps you go to sleep, great.
Run with it.
But we have to model that for our kids, because they are not in the habit of doing that, right?
Yeah.
Their goal is, I don't want to miss anything, so I'm going to keep looking until the moment I can't keep my eyes open any longer. And we have to remember, unlike when we were kids, this is silent. You know what I mean? So you can
get
the door closed, lights off, and we might think, oh, they're getting plenty of rest in there. But I've talked to enough kids who will tell me, oh, no, I'm up till 2 or 3 in the morning on this thing.
Oh, great. All right, let's take a break. More with Dr. John Duffy. If you'd like to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. That's right, 312-981-7200. That gets it done.
All right. right. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we have clinical psychologist, friend of the show, Dr. John Duffy on the air with us today. Bill, I don't know if you remember this, but when I got in this morning, the first thing I said, other than hello to Walter Jacobson, was only two more weeks of school.
I heard you say that.
And you looked at me and it's like, I don't have school. But when the kids have school, pressure's on to get them there on time.
Yeah. When the kids have school, the whole family has school. And the pressure is on to get them there on time, to get them fired up for this home stretch when a lot of them have sophomore-itis and junior-itis and senior-itis and eighth-grade-itis.
And psoriasis.
And psoriasis,
some
right?
Some kids have psoriasis.
You recommend some good shampoo for that, right?
That's the key. You're right. But this is tough also because then the weather gets to be like it is today. And if you're a kid, you're looking out the window going, I so want to be outside instead of in here.
The setup is rough. Yeah. It really, really is. Right. Because kids have windows in every classroom and they can see like, and they know, oh, we're this close, you know. And yet for a lot of kids, if you look at this moment right now in a lot of schools around me anyway, there is probably 20 to 25% of grades in every class on the table right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So so the way to fire kids up, if your child is invested in grades at all, is to say, hey, let's reset. Let's call this the beginning of a very, very short semester or quarter, and let's just fire up and run through the rest of the race. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you spend an hour or two a night from here on out, you can go into summer feeling good about how these last couple of weeks left.
Makes a difference.
Yeah, it's easier to say that now than it is in January when it's freezing. There's nothing. You're unhappy.
Right.
A little down. Muster a whole bunch of energy and study for several hours a night. That just is very difficult to get kids fired up to do. But right now, there's this little bit of window.
Home
right?
stretch. That's what I say every morning.
That's
you're
what
in the
it's all
home
about.
Stretch.
Yes. You want to fire your kids up with the home stretch idea for sure. And let them know, hey, you have X number of days. If you study an extra 15, 20 minutes, that's going to make an impact on your grades in even your most difficult classes. You can boost almost anything up a grade if there's 20% on the board.
Yep.
Yeah.
So most school years are like 40 to 42 weeks. And if you're a kid and you're doing the math, you go, I got through 40. I got two left.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough two, but just get through it.
Right. And those either finals or final tests, exams, projects, stuff like that are still out there. So what I try to get kids to do, you do the fire up talk, but you also have to lay out the day.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so how are these days going to look differently than the last 40?
Right.
These last 40 weeks, you know, like when do you want to protect time to get things done? And different kids are inclined toward different times of day. Some kids, they can get home and get right to it. Most kids can't. Most kids need, like, I got to wind down. I need a break. I need to play some video games, hit Snapchat up, see what's going on. Then maybe after dinner I can get to it. Or I've got a play practice, or I'm on the track team, or whatever it is. But the earlier I find they get to it, you know, once you start at 8:30 or 9 o'clock, I think you're already working with fatigue, and it's hard to get fired up for it. So in these last couple of weeks, scale it back if you can with your kids.
Right.
You know, and let them know. It's home stretch. It's the last couple of weeks here.
Almost there.
Yeah.
And the summer's going to taste so good.
Right.
It really is. And I was thinking about it. It's a beautiful day today, as you mentioned, Bill, and the sun's out and you don't want to be in class. But it's going to be in the 70s, maybe upper 70s today. When they go back to school, that's even harder because that's when it's been like 96 degrees. And our schools are not air conditioned. I don't know how with the taxes we pay. Seriously.
No, that's true. That's a big problem. It really is because kids note that as like by third period, I'm a mess.
Sweltering.
I'm exhausted and I'm sweltering. And yeah, that is part of it. One last note on firing them up. If things aren't going well, the press I give to parents is this is an opportunity. Take grades out of it for a minute. And just say, hey, if you put some effort in on this back end, you're going to feel good going into the summer. And you've got a little momentum going into next year.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
As opposed to feeling like, it just went the same as the rest of the week did, and my grades actually stayed the same or went down, you know, which happens an awful lot of the time. And then I see kids in June, July, and August who feel discouraged that whole time, as opposed to like, you know what? I did something those last couple of weeks. I think I can tap that come the fall.
Right.
Finish big, as someone just texted us. That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You push a little farther when you see the finish line coming,
right? The mantra is not a difficult one, and I usually encourage kids, picture the finish line being a week past your last final, right, and then you'll run all the way through it.
Are you opposed to bribes?
No.
I'm serious. There have been some bribes going on.
The well-placed bribe I'm all about, especially this time of year. Typically, if this were February, I'd say the problem with bribes is you get yourself in too deep and the motivation becomes all the wrong thing. Like, okay, now I'm playing for Xbox time as opposed to like doing well. But right now, the stakes are high and you want that feel good. Hey, a little bribe here and there, I'll take it.
This text just in from Lori Laughlin, I don't think bribes are a good idea.
All right. But here's the thing, you're going to give your kid who doesn't have a job spending money anyway.
Right.
So make it look like it's some special thing, like if you accomplish this by this date, you're going to get a little bonus.
Right, exactly. A little bonus for a job well done. Right? So not even quite a bribe. Certainly not the Lori Loughlin style bribe.
Just shy of
that. We're not promising a canoe.
Right.
Or whatever, a kayak.
That's fair.
If I had Lori Loughlin money, it wouldn't matter what his grades were.
Right. That's true, too. Yeah.
And he'd be good on the girls' crew team.
True. John, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me,
guys. If people want to hear you, their best bet is to do what exactly?
Find me at drjohnduffy.com. Scroll down. There's all sorts of stuff. There's podcasts, and there's a book coming out in August, and all sorts of stuff.
Do we know the title yet? Are you saying the title or not?
I'm going to get the title right and the subtitle wrong.
Oh, all right.
So it's Parenting the New Teen, Raising Happy, Healthy Adults Ages 8 to 24.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a bunch.
It's a mouthful.
That's
Your girls still fall in that.
They still fall in.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So we better read it.